Proverbs chapter 11, if you would please. Proverbs 11. And we're in a series, Wisdom from Above. And just to give you kind of an idea of the way I think I'm thinking through this, is that, of course, the first nine chapters of Proverbs, it gives us truths in different sections, if you will, passages. But once we hit to the ninth chapter and beyond, just about every verse is a different truth in the book. Not all of it, but most of the chapters from 11 to 31. And so we've been hitting some of the truths as we've been getting to them in Proverbs 11. So my point is, I'm not going to go through every verse of the book of Proverbs this way. But when we hit the same truth we hit before, I'll skip over that and hit another. So in Proverbs chapter 11, a very, very familiar verse, as a matter of fact, it is the verse that we tie into our Christian school. If you look at the emblem on our Christian school, it says Proverbs 11:30. And it's dealing with this subject. And why is that so important? Well, we're going to look at that tonight. So Proverbs chapter 11, one verse tonight, verse 30. Most of you probably, I know you've heard it, probably memorize it. Notice the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. Amen. And he that winneth souls is wise. I'll read that once more. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Amen. Wisdom from above. Amen. If we're wise, it means we'll win souls. Amen?
Amen?
All right, let's pray. Father, thank you for your goodness. I pray as I give forth the message that you've led me to preach tonight, that you'd help me tonight. We all need your help. Amen. We need your help from your word. So fill me afresh and anew with thy spirit as I preach. Give us all ears to hear. And may we this evening be honest with ourselves and honest with you about this truth that we're looking at this evening, that we, I believe, all of us would nod our head at. But may we ask the question, are we doing what this Bible verse tells us to do? Please help us all now, God. Help Capital Baptist Church to be everything you want us to be. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Astron Solutions is a business consulting company. Been around for about 20 years, and they help businesses and organizations across the country manage their employees. Their threefold goal is to help businesses manage their employees, help businesses retain their employees, and help raise employee engagement in the business. You get that, right? Manage the employees, retain them, keep them, and then help them raise their engagement. In other words, get them involved. One of the articles that they published recently was entitled this company, The Importance of Job Descriptions. In the article, they convey how vitally important it is for someone to have a job description. In other words, you got to know what you're supposed to do, right? You got to know what you're there for. And they said this, that a job in the article, they said that a job description includes the following five things. I don't have them on your sheet. Probably should have put them there. Number one, the person's title. Number two, their duties and responsibilities. Number three, the skills and competence needed. Number four, who they answer to. And then number five, their compensation, what they're going to receive in return for their work. So I'll say them quickly again. Their title, their duties, the skills needed, who they answer to, and what their compensation is. And they say when a person clearly understands these things, they can perform their job well. Now, I'm not trying at all to secularize God's work here tonight. Nor am I trying to equate God's work to a secular job or equate the church to a secular business. But I am trying to make a point, and that is this. As Christians, as a church, we have been given a job.
Amen.
We've been given a job.
By
virtue of our salvation,
Amen.
We have this job. So I didn't apply for it. Are you saved here tonight?
Amen. Amen.
If you're saved, then you got the job. Amen. It's by virtue of the fact we're saved. And by the way, it's been given to every one of us, not Amen. Just a few. And it's been given to us by Jesus Christ himself.
Praise the Lord.
It is the job of winning people
Amen.
To Christ. Good. That's what it is. Do you know five times in the New Testament our job assignment was repeated to us by the Lord Jesus Christ himself?
Amen.
He told us the assignment again and again. By the way, he put it in his book. Amen.
Amen.
Eternally given to us during the church age. Matthew 28, you know it. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. There's our job assignment.
Praise the Lord.
He said it again simply in Mark 16, 15. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He repeated it again in Luke 24, 46. Thus is it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, and ye are witnesses of these things. There it is, the job assignment. John 20, 21, Jesus said, peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, so send I you. How did he send Jesus? To seek and to save that which was lost.
Amen.
So how is he sending
Amen.
Us? To seek and to save that which was lost.
Amen.
Acts 1, 8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Again, this is our job assignment.
Amen.
It is our primary ministry. I like to wait. Hold your hand here. We'll come back here. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, one of my favorite chapters in the Bible.
Amen.
But 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and I like the way Paul put this job assignment here to us.
Good.
Very, very clearly. Notice in verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:17, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and all things are become new. There it is, salvation, right?
Amen.
Watch this. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation.
Amen.
There it is. Why do we run buses? Why do we do that? Why do we have Sunday school classes? Why are we planning a church? Why are we? Why do we knock on doors? Why do we try to be strong spiritually? What is it all? What's the end of this whole thing? Very simple, to win souls. Oh, yes, you say, yes, a great commission. Yes, baptize them and teach them to observe. I get that, but you got to start with winning them to Christ.
Right.
That's where it begins, and that's why we do it. So, our official job description could read this way. Our title, child of God.
Amen.
Our duties and responsibilities, to win the lost.
Amen.
The skills and competence needed to know the plan of salvation.
Amen.
Who do we answer to? God himself.
Praise the Lord.
What's our compensation? Oh, it's awesome.
Praise the Lord.
It's awesome. We get Amen. Eternal rewards Amen. For doing what we do. So praise the Lord. There it is. There's our job description. Can I stop and say this? Evaluation time. By the way, I'm looking at myself here as well. Are we doing our job?
Amen.
Not our, how about this? Not are we doing our job. Am I doing my job?
Amen.
Am I? And could we do it better?
Amen.
Again, notice our text going back to Proverbs chapter 11. We read, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls
Amen.
Is wise. Tonight I want to preach on that subject. You see it on the top of your sheet. The wisdom of winning souls.
Amen.
There's wisdom in that. That's the wisdom of God.
Amen.
The wisdom of the world says, live for yourself.
Right.
Make yourself a name. Gather all the things you can in this life.
Right.
The wisdom of God says, win souls.
Amen.
Go after people.
Praise
you know, it's interesting. There are many things that a child of God can do that God says are wise. For example, we read in Proverbs 10:19, in the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. In other words, it's a wise thing for you and me to be careful with our words and refrain our lips. Don't just blah, blah, blah everything, because the more you say, the more I say, the more likely we are to sin. And God says, if you refrain your lips, you're wise. Proverbs 12:15, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. In other words, it is a wise thing, according to God, to listen and follow godly counsel. Amen. That is a good thing. By the way, all of us need it. Amen. We never get to the place where we don't need it. We need to listen to people, godly people and godly counsel that lines up with God's word. But here is a third thing that God says that makes us wise. He that winneth souls,
amen,
is wise.
Praise the Lord.
And I want to ask, why? Why is it wise to win souls? Well, that's what I want to look at tonight.
Amen.
So let's go ahead and start with number one. Notice, first of all, the picture God gives. There's a picture here. Notice he begins with a metaphor. He says, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. That sounds somewhat cryptic, doesn't it, at first glance? The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. And so it begins here, God begins with a word picture, with symbolism, with a metaphor. And notice, let's just go ahead and pick it apart and talk about it. Why not? Notice there are three parts to this word picture. We see that there is the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. So I'm going to take a little bit out of order, but we see that there is the righteous. That's one element of this, or one part of this word picture. Some people call the righteous. Then there is their fruit, and there is this tree of life. So what does this mean? Well, let's look at each one of these. Just humor me for a little bit. I'm sure you know what most of these are. Let's look at, first of all, letter A, the righteous. Notice again, he says, the fruit of the righteous. Well, who are the righteous? Who is God talking about here? Well, that's easy. If you know the word of God at all, you know that the righteous are those that have trusted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. It is those of us that are saved. You see, understand, none of us are righteous in and of ourselves. Romans 3:10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. But those of us that have been saved, that have repented of their sin and trust Jesus Christ as Savior, we have been declared righteous by God Himself. In other words, we are, in the eyes of God, we are positionally righteous. In other words, our sins are forgiven. They are all gone. They are washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. They are as far as the east is from the west. They are in the depths of the sea. Gone, gone, gone. All of our sins are gone.
Hallelujah.
Man, that was a good place for an amen. I'll just amen myself. Amen, preacher. That's good. And God now sees us as he sees, think about this, his son. Actually, it's not just as if we never sinned. It's just as if we were never even a sinner.
Praise the Lord.
Hebrews 10:17, and their sins and their, iniquities will I remember no more.
Praise the Lord.
What sins are you talking about? You probably heard that. And it's all because of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You know, so clearly explained how we get this righteousness in Romans chapter 3 and verse 21 and 22. Listen to it closely. You won't have to turn there for time's sake. The Bible says, but now the righteousness of God, because that's what we need to get to heaven.
Amen.
We need the righteousness of God. We need to be as righteous as he is.
Amen.
Well, none of us can be in of ourselves. So how do we get it? But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe.
Amen.
There it is. Hallelujah. James 2:23, and the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it, his belief, was imputed unto him for righteousness. So when God speaks of the righteous here in Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 30, he is speaking here of every believer.
Praise the Lord.
So there's element number one.
Amen.
Element number two is the fruit. So notice he says the fruit of the righteous. What does that mean? Do you know that God expects every believer to bear fruit?
Amen.
Every one of us.
Amen.
Not just some, not just those called in the ministry,
right.
Not just those overseas in the mission field, not just those teaching a Sunday school class, every single one of us.
Amen.
Matter of fact, that is exactly why he saved us.
Praise
he
God.
Saved us to bear fruit.
Amen.
John 15:8, the Bible says, "Herein is my Father glorified." Why are we put on this earth? To glorify God. Well, let's take it a step further. How do we glorify God? There it is, John 15:8. "Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples."
Amen.
And so that's why he saved us, to bear fruit. Now, of course, all of us have different abilities. All of us have different opportunities. But we are all supposed to still bear fruit. By the way, young and old, small and big, all of us bear fruit. I like what Jesus said in Matthew 13:23. "But he that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit, some an hundredfold, some 60, and some 30. So again, we've all been given by God different abilities and different opportunities, but all of us should bear fruit. Some may bear fruit 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. But again, God saved us for that reason.
Amen.
To bear fruit.
Praise the Lord.
So what does that mean? Well, let's talk about this fruit, some things about this fruit. Number one, let's consider the sort of fruit. What's he talking about, the sort of fruit? Well, what does he mean? You know, the Bible mentions fruit and the believer in at least two different ways. The very first way is the fruit of the Spirit. That's what we're supposed to show. Galatians 5:22, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." And so he talks about, as you and I yield ourselves to the Spirit of God, as we're dead to the self and alive to Christ, understand what is produced in our lives or what will be evident in our lives is the fruit of the Spirit.
Amen.
We will be filled with joy, love and joy and peace and long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Again, that is evidence that we are yielded to the Spirit of God. But that's not the fruit he's speaking of here. You see, there's another kind of fruit that is spoken of in the Bible and here in Proverbs chapter 11, and that is the fruit of reproducing other believers.
Amen.
That's fruit. That's what we're to do. Do you know that everything that is alive and healthy reproduces? That's why God created things, right? After their kind. They are to reproduce. And so, of course, apple trees reproduce apples. Very good. You're with me. Peach trees produce peaches. Very good. Watermelon seeds, we'll say, produce watermelons, right? So, therefore, Christians should produce Christians, very good. That's what we are. That's the fruit he's talking about here. As Christians, we are to reproduce ourselves. In other words, God is to use us to produce other Christians. By the way, this is the fruit that God desires.
Amen.
John 15:16, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain." Would you let that verse ring in your ears for a moment? This is the Lord Jesus Christ talking to his disciples. Again, he said, "I've chosen you and I've ordained you so that you would go forth and bear fruit and that your fruit would remain." And he's talking about Christians going out and winning souls to Christ,
Amen.
Reproducing themselves in others. That's the sort of fruit that he's talking about here in this second part of this metaphor, the fruit of the righteous. But then let's consider the significance of this fruit. So let me ask you this. Is bearing fruit important to God?
Amen.
Absolutely.
Right.
It is very important.
Right.
Let me ask you something. How important is it? Is it a serious matter? I see that we as being the righteous, declared righteous, saved because of Christ, that there's a fruit we're supposed to producing other Christians. Yeah, I see that, preacher, but what's the big deal? I mean, you know, other people can do it. Other churches can do it. What's the big deal? Well, it's important to God. And you say, how important? Well, let's let God tell us how important
right.
it is.
Amen.
Go over to Luke chapter 13. Let's just see how important this reproducing ourselves is to God. Notice Luke chapter 13 and verse 6. You know this parable. He spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon and found none. So notice the tree had a purpose.
Right.
He didn't just put it there to look nice. He didn't just put it there to take up space. He planted it for a reason. He planted it so that that tree would produce fruit. But he went there to find it. It was time for the fruit to be born. He went to this tree. He looked at it, and there was nothing there. And so let's read on. Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? Now, that's a reasonable thing to do. If I plant a tree and it's not producing fruit, and that's the reason I planted it, and I come by the first season when it's the time for the fruit to come out, and there's nothing there, and I said, all right, well, give it another year, I guess. Come back the next year, and nothing again. Come back even a third year, and there's nothing again. Wouldn't it be a reasonable thing to say, this tree's done, this thing's done.
Right.
Cut it down. Put something else there. Well, that's what he's saying.
Right. Amen.
Why cumbereth it the ground? You know what that's saying? Why is it taking up space?
Right.
Space I could use for something else. And he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig it about and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well, and if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. In other words, give it a little more time. Just please, would you allow it one more? Really, it'll happen. Fruit will come. And so I imagine that he did. But the idea was this, is that if it's not bearing fruit, why is it there?
Amen.
Why is it taking up space?
Right.
It's not doing what I left it here to do. And by the way, let's apply that to us.
Right.
Our fruit is supposed to be winning souls. And so understand, ask ourselves, are we doing what he left us here to do? Or have we received the grace of God in vain?
Right.
Or are we just taking up space? You say, preacher, I'm not taking up space. I'm working. I'm taking care of my family. I'm paying my bills. I get that. But that's not the primary purpose
right.
you're here.
Amen.
The primary purpose we're here is to win people to the Lord. And so bearing fruit is the very reason that we exist here on this earth as believers. That's why we're here.
Amen.
So that's the fruit. But then there's another third thing about this. I don't have it on your sheet. Oh, yes, I do. Let her see. Notice the tree of life. So the first part of this metaphor is talking about the fruit, the righteous, and then the fruit. But notice he says the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. Now, what does that mean? What's he mean that, okay, if I'm a saved person and I produce fruit, it's a tree of life? What is that? You know, we read of the tree of life in a couple places in the Bible. I don't want to go too far into that one. But we find it in the book of Genesis, the tree of life. And then we find it as a bookend on the other side in the book of the Revelation of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let me read you a few verses. Genesis 2:9, and out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden. So in the Garden of Eden, right in the midst of that, before sin entered into the world, we find the tree of life.
Amen.
We also know the tree of knowledge of good and evil there as well. Genesis 3:22. Watch this. After the sin, and the Lord God said, behold, the man has become as one of us to know good and evil. And now lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. I won't read on, but there it is again. Verse 24, so he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword, which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. In the Garden of Eden, there was a tree of life. Then we go to the other end, and in the book of the Revelation, we read in chapter 2 and verse 7, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God.
Amen.
So there was in the Garden of Eden, a sin was cast out, and cherubim protected. Lo and behold, we find it later in the New Jerusalem, in heaven. Revelation 22:2, in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree, this is important, were for the healing of the nations.
Amen.
Revelation 22:14, blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. So the tree of life is a real tree.
Amen.
It's a literal tree.
Praise the Lord.
It's in the Garden of Eden, and it'll be in heaven as well.
Amen.
It is said, now watch this, it is said to provide life and nourishment and the healing of the nations, vibrancy. That's what it said to provide. But notice in our passage here in verse 30, it does not say the tree of life. It says a tree of life.
Right.
I'll read it again. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. Now, what does that mean? If he's not talking about the literal tree of life, what kind of tree of life is he talking about? Well, listen to this. Two other times in Proverbs, we read it. Actually, it's three. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, talking about wisdom, and happy is everyone that retaineth her. Proverbs 13:12, hope deferred maketh the heart sick, but when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life.
Amen.
Proverbs 15:4, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life. But perverseness therein is a breach of the spirit. So what does it mean when the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life? I think it's easy to understand as you put all that together. You see, when a person gets saved, understand what that does. It not only gives them eternal life, but hallelujah to that. Praise the Lord for that.
Amen.
But understand what salvation provides. It provides for them, the Lord Jesus Christ provides for them all of the spiritual nourishment that they need.
Amen.
All of the spiritual healing that they need.
Amen.
All of the vibrancy of life that is needed. The understanding of life and what things are about. You see, everything a person needs for this world and even the next is found in Jesus Christ.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Do you believe that tonight?
Amen.
So think about that. When you win a soul to Christ, it's as if that person is partaking of the tree of life.
Praise the Lord.
All the spiritual nourishment,
Amen.
Healing, vibrancy, understanding, purpose in this world is theirs. Forever.
Praise Jesus. Amen.
I like the way the Lord Jesus Christ put it when he was speaking. Do you remember when he was talking to the woman at the well, how he described salvation?
Amen.
He said, "Whosoever drink of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. Amen. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." John 6:35, Jesus said this, "I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger.
Amen.
And he that believeth on me shall never thirst." You see, what a wonderful picture this gives us of what takes place when we lead a person to Christ.
Amen.
What a beautiful picture. The fruit of the righteous, when a person that is saved wins a soul to Christ,
Amen.
We are giving to that person a tree of life that they've never had before.
Amen.
Beautiful picture. And we have it to give.
Amen.
So we see, number one, the picture God gives. We see, number two, the particulars God desires. All right. So how do we win souls? And I'm not talking about the mechanics of you go to Romans 3:10 and then Romans 3:23 and then Romans 6:23 and Romans 5:12 and Romans 10:9 and 10:13 and then you ask them to receive Christ as Savior. I'm not talking about that. We should know that, and I'll get to that here in a moment. But how do we win souls? Notice it says the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. Notice, and he that winneth souls is wise. How do we win souls? Let me write this down. The way to bear fruit.
Amen.
You say, "Preacher, I know how to do that." We just tell them. Well, it's true that we tell them. We tell them about Christ. We tell them the gospel, right?
Amen.
The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And by the way, that is enough. If somebody understands, God honors his word.
Amen.
I mean, you can give them a track if they're reading the word of God. It's going to work because the word of God works in the heart of the person. But how can you and I win souls the most productively?
Right. That's good.
In other words, how can we bear the most fruit to our potential?
Amen.
Well, to be the most effective, I think there's at least three important elements to be an effective
Amen.
Soul winner. First of all, element number one is this, our prayers.
Amen.
Part of it's praying.
Praise the Lord.
Didn't Paul say this when he was talking about the Jews? He says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved."
Amen.
One of the things, if you and I want to be wise, and if we want to win souls, we have to do all of these things if we want to be the most productive fruit bearers that we can be. That hundredfold Christian, and part of that is praying for souls.
Amen.
Pray that their hearts would be tender. I was rejoicing tonight. I think it was John put in a prayer request. Pray for this person to be saved. Pray for this
Amen.
Person to be saved. Pray for this person
Praise
to be saved. And we should do that.
Right.
We should do that. Pray that their hearts would be tender. Pray that God would bring circumstances in their lives. By the way, when we're praying for people's health, and we should do that, if they're not saved, we should pray that God uses that to get them to come to Christ.
Amen.
Because that's the most important thing.
Amen.
What if they get healed from our prayers, but we never prayed for their salvation, and then they're just going to die and go to hell after that anyway? Pray for them to be saved. Matthew 17:21. "Howbeit, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting."
Amen.
So one of the elements is praying. Number two, the second element is this, our example.
Good.
How can I be fruitful? Well, pray for people. And then number two, be the example that God wants me to be.
Amen.
You know, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9:26, he said, "I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air." You get that? I always laugh when I read that portion of that verse. He's talking about being an effective soldier, an effective fighter for God. And he says, I don't want to like beat the air. You know how I always think of, I was the littlest of the four. I was the youngest. And so I had two older brothers, and they, you know, put their hand on your head and you're doing this, right? And you're beating the air and they're laughing at you and that sort of thing. That's kind of the word picture I get. He says, I don't want to be like that. I want my punches to connect, if you will. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. Paul was talking about the life he was living. He understood it was important if he's going to preach the gospel to people that he should keep his body under subjection. In other words, watch what he does, how he acts, where he goes, his testimony before people. Why is that? Because he didn't want his words to fall to the ground.
Right.
2 Timothy 2:5, if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. You see, the way that we live greatly impacts the efficacy of our words.
Amen.
What do they think of you at your job? You the guy that always comes in late, tells off-color jokes in the break room, laughs at things you shouldn't laugh at, and then you want to tell them about the Lord?
Right.
You know where your words are going to go? To the ground. Because they're going to say this, I don't want what you have.
Right.
Because you don't have anything special.
Amen.
You're just like everybody else.
Right.
And I don't need that. They want to see somebody whose Christianity is real.
Amen.
That they live out what they say. And I know all of us fall short. I get that to some degree. I get that. But let's make that difference very, very small, as small as possible.
Amen.
Because we're to live the life of an example. You see, nobody wants to listen to a hypocrite.
Amen.
Nobody wants to listen to a gossip.
Right.
Nobody wants to listen to a complainer or somebody that's unkind or that is miserable or that's dishonest all the time. They don't want to listen to that. Do you remember what Paul said to the church at Corinth? You know the church at Corinth. Go through the book of 1 Corinthians. I talked about this on Sunday morning. There were cliques in the church. There was backbiting in the church. There was all kinds of doctrinal errors. They were going to law one with another. I mean, it was a mess. And Paul said to them at the end of the book in chapter 15, watch this. He said, awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. He said, the reason they don't have the knowledge of God is because of you. Because of the way you're behaving. I remember when I first went to Oxford, there was the church had a bad history. It just did. The bad history was of preachers and trouble. Preachers ran off with deacons' wives, and preachers did this, and then deacons did this, and people did this. And there were some people in the community still to that day, years later, probably decades later, said, I'm not going to that church. That's the church with the trouble. Yeah, you try to say, well, not anymore, you know, hopefully things will change, you know. Hopefully come on back, you know. But some people say, no, I don't want to hear what you have to say. Because of the testimony.
Right.
It's the same with me and you.
Right.
You see, yes, we are to win souls, but it's not just saying it is, but it's more than that. If we want to be more effective,
Amen.
It's praying for people, it's being the example that God wants us to be.
Amen.
And then the third element is this, our words. Of course we need to tell them. That's where the new evangelicals go wrong. They think, well, live the life and hopefully they'll figure it out. Well, it doesn't work that way. You know, they may look at you and say, boy, you're a nice guy. What diet are you on? You know, it's that sort of thing. They won't know. You have to say something. We have to talk, right? For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And we rejoice in that verse, but we often forget about the next verse. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Somebody's got to tell them. You know, there are churches all around us that are independent, fundamental Baptist churches, that don't go soul winning.
Right.
And let's take a step further. Forget the going soul winning. How about just being a soul winner?
Amen.
You may not be able to go out on Saturday or Wednesday, but be a soul winner. Hand out a tract. Right. Talk to someone. Make a difference. We have to speak up.
Amen.
We have to say something if we're going to win them to Christ. We have to tell them.
Praise the Lord.
That's the way we bear fruit. But then letter B, write this down, the winning we must do. You see what he mean by that? Let's go back to the wording. He says, and he that winneth souls. Think of that word, is wise. Think of the phrase, winneth souls. Winneth souls. You know what that means? Watch this. It means to win them over. To win them over to Christ.
Amen.
In other words, stay with me now. It's not just trying to get someone to say a prayer.
Right.
God deliver us from that.
Right.
People just want to get us off the porch or out of their face and just say, tell me what to say so we can get this thing over. I'm in enough pain. No, it's not that. We're trying to win them.
Right.
We're not trying to force them to say a prayer. The goal is to win them to Christ. In other words, we are to influence them.
Amen.
We are to convince them.
Amen.
We are to persuade them.
Amen.
By the way, you're not going to influence many people if you get them mad.
Right.
Well, I got something to tell you. You're dying and going to hell, buddy. And I'm the Bible police here. Be careful with that. We're trying to bring people along. You see, when you're trying to win someone to the Lord, the first thing, you got to figure out where they are.
Amen.
And try to bring them along. And you may not get them to make a profession of faith, but at least try to influence them a little bit, at least, at the very least, by your kindness. I always say when we go to a door, listen, we should always leave there at least with them having a nice attitude about Capital Baptist Church. I'm not there to get in their face. I'm not there to argue with them. I'm not.
Amen.
I'm seeing if they're ready to receive the Lord and if they want to listen to influence them and they need to see somebody like that. We're not trying to alienate people. We're not trying to offend people. We're not trying to get them mad. We're not trying to win a debate. We're trying to win them to Christ.
Amen.
That's what we're supposed to do.
Right.
Well, I've seen some folks that just, it seems like they're just trying to get people mad. You know, you're going to hell, buddy. You're going to hell, and you're going to hell, buddy, and you're going to hell. Well, that's great. That's really good. That's really wonderful. That's going to do a whole lot. You say, well, they are. I know they are. But I'm not trying to get them mad.
Right.
I'm trying to, we'll get to that. But do it with the right spirit. We're trying to win them to the Lord.
Amen.
Proverbs 18:19 says this, a brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city.
Amen.
And their contentions are like the bars of a castle. Notice what it says. When you offend somebody, you know what they're going to do? Just like they did with our former president. They didn't like the way his attitude was or the way he did stuff. So it didn't matter what he said. They're against it. Whatever you say, I'm against it because I don't like you. That's human nature. So if we get them mad, then I understand sometimes people get upset just because of the nature of the message. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about us just pushing, trying to get them mad, and we offend them. Guess what? They're not going to listen. And the next time somebody comes from Capital Baptist Church, they want to hear it. Because I don't like you people down there. Be kind, be caring,
Amen.
And so forth.
Right.
These are the particulars God desires. And then number three, and we're done right here, the product we will see. So again, we see the picture that God gives us about the righteous. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. We see the way to bear fruit is by praying, being an example, using our words. And then we have to win them to the Lord. And then number three, the product that we'll see. Why does God say you're wise when you do this? Because of the outcome. Because of the product. We're winning a soul. Why are we wise? Well, two reasons, real quick. Letter A. We will change. We change their eternal destination. It's really simple, 1 John 5:12. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. It's that simple. And when we win someone to Christ, we're not winning them to ourselves, we're not winning them to the church, we're winning them to Christ. Understand, they are forever changed. May I put it this way? Their forever is changed.
Amen.
From heaven to hell.
That's good.
And then letter B will change their present situation.
Amen.
2 Corinthians 5:17, I've read it. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new.
Amen.
Their present life changes.
Amen.
Where would you and I be if we weren't saved?
Lord have mercy.
I can't imagine. Some of us would be dead.
Right.
Some of us would be at the bar stool on the bar stool tonight.
Amen.
Some of us would be in the drug house tonight. But here we are.
Praise
Why? Because of what Christ has done
Amen.
In our lives.
Amen.
Don't you think God wants to do the same
Amen.
With Praise other people? You see, we bark about America and how bad it is. And it is. But we know what the answer is.
Yeah.
It is not a new person in the Oval Office.
Right.
It is not getting rid of the Schumers and the Pelosi's and all that. So that'd be pretty good. I agree, but still, that's not the answer. People need Jesus Christ.
Amen.
One last thing. Go over to Acts 20. We're done. Acts chapter 20.
Amen.
Do you remember when Paul was heading to Jerusalem and he met with the Ephesian elders? I just lost my page here. And he was speaking to them. This is, in my opinion, probably the most touching scene, one of the most touching scenes in the Bible.
Amen.
He tells them, I'm going to see your face no more.
Right.
And notice in verse 36, and when he had thus spoken, he kneeled down and prayed with them all. And they all wept sore and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him.
Amen.
Can you see that scene? Grown men.
Right.
They kneel down to pray. They hug on Paul, and they start crying.
Praise the Lord.
And they don't want to let go of his neck. Why are they doing that? Why are grown men crying over this man? Well, it says sorrowing most of all for the words which he spoke, that they should see his face no more. And they accompanied him to the ship. Can you see them walking the ship and them eyeing him as he gets on the ship?
Right.
And he
Amen.
Goes away, and they're standing on the shore. I could see the tears coming down their eyes, their cheeks, rolling down their cheeks.
Praise
as
the Lord.
They look and say, there he is, he's gone.
Praise the Lord, amen.
Why did they act that way? Because that was the man that probably won most of them to Christ.
Right, amen.
And they probably thought, where would we be without him?
Praise the Lord.
If he never came to our city,
glory to God.
Where would
amen.
Our family be? What would we be like?
Right.
Oh, God, thank you for that person.
Praise the Lord.
Yes, honor and praise to God. I understand that. But God uses instruments.
Amen.
And God wants to use me and you in the lives of
right.
people
That's good.
To do the same thing.
Amen.
That we can make a difference in people's lives.
Right.
If we just speak up.
Amen.
Pray for them. Be the example. Tell them how to be saved.
Right.
I think back to the man who led me and my wife to the Lord. He's in heaven now. But I thank God that he sat us down that day and told us how to be saved. Where
Amen.
Would we be without that man?
Right. Amen.
To this day, I thank God for him.
Praise the Lord.
And you do the same with the person that
thank
led you to
Jesus.
Christ.
Amen.
But now let's reverse that and say, that's what he wants to do with you and you
Amen.
And you and you and you and me
right.
again.
Right.
The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life.
Amen.
And he that winneth souls
Praise the Lord.
Is wise.
Amen.